Man, did our kids help us get going this morning or what? They are awesome. It did seem a little bit funny to me when we were planning all this that I would be talking about peace on the day the kids' choir was singing. Because let me tell you, I was here early and there were some folks here who did not have peace because they were doing hair and getting things going and trying to get everybody in the right place. It was awesome. But talk about peace we will. Because peace is one of the loudest messages of Christmas. It comes thundering to us from the angel's announcement to the shepherds that day. This is the way it's recorded in the book of Luke in chapter 2. Ooh. Too fast for my own good. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Here it comes, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace, peace to those on whom his favor rests." There it is, right in the middle of that. And we usually say, peace on earth. It's the same message, and it's the thing that we hear so often this time of year. It's on the cover of the Christmas cards we receive. It's displayed in lights on our neighbors' homes. It's even on the lips of our favorite TV characters. Everybody does a Christmas episode, and they always include peace on earth. You notice that? And the thing about it is this picture, this idea of peace on earth, the way it comes to us on those Christmas cards, is something like this. A moonlit, snowy, quiet night. Peace on earth, right? Or quiet, slumbering, sweet children, right? Even the little baby Jesus in the manger. Peace on earth. And what that really conveys to us is this idea of tranquility. A tranquil, silent night, right? And the problem with that seems to contrast so strongly with our picture of what it means this time of year. Right, do we have any school teachers in the house? Okay, how are the kids this week? Were they silent and tranquil? No, they're like, let me out of here. Teachers too, right? You been to the mall this week? I went to Costco yesterday. Crazy. Yeah. How's your calendar? Is it peaceful? Is it tranquil? How's your to-do list doing? Lots of peace there? No. And that doesn't even count all the difficulties you're having trying to arrange all of your family. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to who are arranging multiple family gatherings just to get with everyone. There's people who are suffering, pain. They're in the hospital. They're separated this time of year. There's all this anxiety and worry. We can't sleep. We can't turn off the voices of worry in our heads. And somehow that contrasts with this message of a tranquil, peaceful evening. But maybe that's what Christmas is supposed to be. A break. A big time out. A moment's peace in the midst of all the chaos and confusion of our world. Or maybe Christmas could be something else. Maybe it could be more than just a break. It could be the source of a very real peace, a lasting peace, a peace that resolves the conflict within us, a peace that resolves the conflict we have with others, a peace that resolves something in our world. Because if it was that kind of peace, then it really would be good news that would bring great joy to all the people. And that's what I think Christmas is. That's what I think it can be for you. Peace, real peace, a peace that transcends just a peaceful night or a peaceful gathering or a peaceful calendar, but peace of a whole different dimension than you've ever experienced before. Peace with God. Peace with yourself, peace with others. Because that's what Christmas is, the birth of Jesus. It brings real, lasting peace into our lives. And I want you to see how today. This idea of peace on earth, it goes way back before the angels said anything. 6-7 centuries before Jesus is born, in the words of a prophet, comes a foretelling of a child who would bring peace. Our kids read these words for us already today. Out of the darkness, Isaiah thunders, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and oh yes, Prince of Peace." And the thing is, these words were spoken to a people who had no peace. The people of the land of Judah, God's people, they were without peace. They're at war. They've been attacked by two of their neighbors to the north. Things weren't going well. There was hunger and oppression and war and dark times. And they tried to solve it themselves. So you know what they did? They turned to their worst enemy to protect themselves. They made an alliance with the Assyrian nation, thinking that would help them defeat the real enemy that was attacking them. They turned to their worst enemy. You ever done that? You ever turned to your worst enemy to try to protect yourselves? You know, maybe at work you're in a crisis, something had to get done, and so you made an alliance with that one person. That person is usually your rival, but you thought you needed some help to get through, and you knew there was a risk they'd end up taking all the credit for it, but you needed them. And then that's exactly what happened. You got through the crisis, but it turned out worse because they made you look bad, right? Or maybe you've experienced the pain of the separation that you have from your spouse or from your child or from your significant other, and the pain was so great that to hold it off, to keep it at bay, you turn to your old standbys, the painkillers, the bottle, and it worked for a little while, but then they just took over. And that's what happened to the people of Judah. For a moment, it seemed to be working. This alliance they'd made with their worst enemy, it made this sort of tenuous peace in their land, but everybody knew sooner or later Assyria would devour them. You know, it's kind of like inviting a tiger into your home to keep out the snakes. And that's eventually what happened. The Assyrian nation would demolish Judah. And so to these people who were in darkness and had no peace and couldn't figure out peace on their own, God speaks and he gives them this promise of peace. Because God's made promises to his people that he would show up for them, that he would deliver them one day. And now, through the prophet Isaiah, he says, here's how you'll know. Here's what's going to happen. One day, there'll be a child. He'll be a son. But he'll be more than that. He'll be a king. You can tell by the way he's described that he's not just an ordinary king. He's something unusual. And one of the things he is Prince of Peace. Now, this promised king, they soon began to understand, wouldn't just be a king for them, but he'd be a king for everyone. He'd be God's Messiah, the one God sends to deliver and to rescue. And so this child is described in ways that we see on our Christmas cards but don't think about very often. It says that he will be called Wonderful Counselor. And this gives reference to his ability to make the very best plans. This king doesn't need counselors to give him strategy. He makes his own perfect and best plans. This king is called Mighty God, which in their day, that was a phrase that meant a very capable, strong, victorious leader. This is one who could have victory. And this king would be Everlasting Father. He would have a reign and a rule over the people like a loving father. And finally, and most importantly, he would be the Prince of Peace. He wouldn't just come espousing peace, recommending peace. He would come and bring peace. And the reason that he would bring peace is because of his ability to rule and reign as king. This is who's coming. He is the Prince of Peace. And so when the angels show up to the shepherds, that's what they're talking about. When they announce that on earth there can be peace, This is what they mean. The Prince of Peace has come. This child Jesus, who we anticipate during Advent and we celebrate during Christmas, he is the ultimate bringer of peace. And he brings you this kind of peace. First and foremost, peace with God. Peace with God. The book of Romans later would say this, talking about this child who would grow up to be Jesus. It would have these words in chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, listen to this, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of this child who is the Prince of Peace, we are able to have peace with God. And peace with God is about relationship. It's about the state of relationship between you and God. The Prince of Peace makes peace possible with God by ending or by resolving your conflict with God. Because before Jesus or without Jesus, things just aren't right between us and God. There's a conflict. There's a distance. There's a separation. And the source of this distance, of this separation, is our rebellion, our sin, our turning away from God. And that's because embedded in each of us, stamped into our nature, is the desire to do things our own way. We're like kids. Kids who think they know better than their loving parents, and they do their own thing. We resist God's ways. And for some of us, it's pretty overt. If we were frank, to pardon the phrase, we're thumbing our nose at God. Don't need you, God. Don't need your ways. I've got this figured out. We make other things our God, like money or accomplishments. Or our fame. We use people to get to our ends. Others of us say, I don't really have a problem with God. You might be one of those people here today. Says, I don't have a conflict with God. But it's subtle. Right? We smile and we nod at God. We might agree with God on the outside, but inside, we smirk. We know better. We resist. Even if we're friendly toward God on the outside, we just keep doing things our way, right? We rely on our own self-righteousness. We don't embrace His grace. We trust our own ability to follow the rules. I've got this, God. We rely on being moral when it matters most. We do things our way. We resist His directives to love others and to forgive others. For many of us, the sign of our rebellion against God is just our refusal to let God love us, to refuse to receive God's love because we know better, or so we think. And all of these things are examples of conflict, of rebellion between us and God, and it creates distance, it creates separation, and because it's our nature, because it's the way left to ourselves we do things, we can't resolve this separation ourselves. And so God did. God sends this child, His child, this king, the Prince of Peace, and He's going to pay the debt. He's going to pay the cost of our rebellion, of our separation from God. He's going to take it upon Himself. And He's going to make a way for there to be peace and a right relationship with God. And so all that's left for us now, with the source of the conflict and the rebellion removed, the only thing left for us is to just lay down our arms. That's the way the great C.S. Lewis said it. This is a quote from the book Mere Christianity. Fallen man without God, fallen man is not simply an imperfect creature who needs improvement. He's a rebel who must lay down his arms. And so whether you're the kind of rebel who's got your bayonet fixed and you're charging down the hill at God, or you're just standing in the back of the camp with your arms at your shoulder, either way, it doesn't matter. You've put yourself on the side of the rebellion. And God makes it possible for you to just lay down your arms, to be reconciled to Him because of what Jesus has done. And the result of that is peace with God. And it's the most profound, deepest possible peace you could have. Peace with your Creator. Not just an absence of conflict between you and God, but the actual opening of new life and new possibilities and new relationships. Because the amazing thing about God is when He ends this conflict, when He puts an end to the rebellion between people and Himself, He doesn't then seek to vanquish them. He doesn't seek to defeat you or to imprison you. All along, He's out to defeat the sin, the rebellion, the impulse that separates you from Him. And when it's done and you lay down your arms, it opens the possibility for life, for living. He leads you to green pastures. He feasts and He celebrates with you. That's our God. And that peace comes through this child born at Christmas who is the Prince of Peace. And that writing of our relationship with God, this peace with God, leads to the second kind of peace that the Prince of Peace makes possible. It's the experiential peace. It's the peacefulness that we seek and that we hope for. It's the feeling of peacefulness. As this child, as this Prince of Peace grows up, Jesus, He begins to talk, He begins to teach and to offer to His followers this profound peace. John 14 records His words this way, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." He offers a personal sense of peace that's completely beyond that which the world you live in can give you. It results in you not having to be troubled and afraid. Can you imagine that? It's a kind of peace that surpasses the sufferings and the difficulties and the pain of your life. Not by excusing you from them, not by letting you escape them, but by coming underneath you as you walk through them. It is the peace that comes with God. John 16, Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the system, the world, the culture that seeks to submerge you. That which you live in and experience that tempts to drive out all hope and love and joy and peace in your life, Jesus says, in Me, you can have it." And I don't know about you, but that's good news because I can use that, right? Do you ever have one of those weekends that, it really would be best portrayed as a country song, you know? I think I had one of those weekends, right? It would be a song kind of like this. "The flu hit the office early this week. People were dropping like flies. My boy called to say he lost his job today. The dog got sick and he dies. Mama's in the hospital. She really should stay, but she's trying to leave today. Oh yeah, and the roof leaked." Right? That's the song of my life right now. And you could write your own song, right? Different specifics, different time. But the waves of life that threaten to collapse you. And Jesus says, "Take heart. I've overcome that. In Me, you can have peace." The peace of knowing that God is with you and that He will help you. And we access that peace most often through prayer. Paul writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, all the verses of your country song, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God the experiential, personal peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the peace that Jesus offers. It transcends all understanding. It's of a different dimension completely than the temporary, momentary peace we seek and find through our own strategies for peace. Personal peace. So the Prince of Peace, born on Christmas, he offers us this peace with God and this deep inner peace, and that makes one more kind of peace possible. It's the kind of peace that actually can change the world. It's a radical possibility because the Prince of Peace makes possible peace with others. Because when you're at peace with God, when you're living in concert with his desires and his purposes, when you begin to experience the deep, personal, transcendent peace through prayer that God offers, it opens up some amazing possibilities in your life. And that one of those is peace with others. And that's relevant because Christmas so often highlights the lack of peace we have with others, right? The family discord, the things that exist when we try to gather, you know, the neighbors whose lights are too bright, the guy who wants the same parking spot as you at the mall, the people at work who are stressed out trying to end the year, long estranged family members. Jesus, this Prince of Peace, he offers the possibility of reconciliation. He casts a vision for us, for the kind of people that we can be. That's why he starts off the Sermon on the Mount by saying this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." This is a statement of vision to those who would follow Jesus, saying, this is what's possible. You don't have to live your life as a conflict maker. You can live life as a peacemaker. You can bring peace, the peace of God, into the relationships that you have, into the world that you live in. If it weren't possible, he wouldn't tell us to do it, right? Later, Paul would say this, if it is possible, and he means it is possible, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Over and over again, statements like this appear in the New Testament because it's a call to God's people saying, now that you have peace with God, now that you have this personal peace that comes from Jesus, you can offer that peace to your world. You can be part of the reconciling revolution that Jesus wants in this world because God's work through Jesus, more than anything else, is the reconciling of all things to himself. And you can have that peace and you can offer that peace. This is what the Prince of Peace brings. This is what this child brings. And so today, let me encourage you to receive this child. Receive this peace. This is the hope of peace on earth. And we do this through faith. That's the beginning of that verse in Romans 5. We saw, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight, by faith, by believing, by trusting what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. That's your entryway into this life of peace. It's seeing the child in the manger is not just a Christmas ornament, but as the Prince of Peace come from you, for you. And if you'll trust him, and if you'll believe that as he lives and dies and rises again, he permanently ends the conflict between you and God. You can have this right relationship with him. You can experience this peace. You can bring this peace. And that, my friends, is the message of Christmas. Let's pray together. Lord, we understand that we exist in an ironic situation where this promise of peace that is the message of Christmas, we so often wrap it up in the stress and the busyness in the complicatedness of this season. So today, in this moment, we come and we remember that more than anything else, born on that day is the Prince of Peace. And we thank you for the gift of peace, peace with God. We thank you for personal peace that transcends all understanding. And we thank you for the hope of peace, peace in our world. Grant us in greater measure your peace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.